Three from Srimad Bhagavatam, seventh canto, chapter 15, text 75. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. My dear Maharaj Yudhishthira, this is Narada Muni speaking.
Yes.
Narada Muni speaking. My dear Maharaj Yudhishthira, you Pandavas are so very fortunate in this world that many, many great saints who can purify all the planets of the universe come to your house, just like ordinary visitors. Furthermore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is living confidentially with you in your house, just like your brother. Purport. Here is a statement exalting a Vaishnava. It means glorifying, statement glorifying a Vaishnava. In human society, a Brahmana is the most respected person. A Brahmana is one who can understand Brahman, the impersonal Brahman. But hardly ever can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita as Param Brahma. A Brahmana may be extremely fortunate in having achieved Brahman Jnana, but the Pandavas were so exalted that the Para Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was living in their house like an ordinary human being. The word Buri Bhaga indicates that the Pandavas were still in a higher position than brahmacharis and brahmanas. In the following verses, Narada Muni repeatedly glorifies the position of the Pandavas. Aman Gyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shudake Chakshuran Litamena Tasmai Shri Gurveena Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shri Vasudevi Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Generally, the rishis and sages who are brahmacharis, sannyasis, and brahmanas are the gurus of society. They are the most respectable personalities, and they are to be worshipped by everyone, worshipped by the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, and of course, served by and worshipped by the Shudras. But in this verse, we get balance, we get things are reversed here. The Kshatriyas are in the second position. Kshatriyas and Grihasthas are glorified in the topmost position. A Kshatriya and Grihastha is put above a Muni and a Brahmachari. Ordinarily, Brahmacharis are in the topmost position, and the Brahmanas. But here in this verse, Narada is saying that there's an exception here to the rule. And the exception is the Pandavas. The Pandavas were Grihasthas. They weren't Brahmacharis. And they were Kshatriyas. They weren't Brahmanas. But they were in the topmost position. So, such an exalted position, such a topmost position, that the greatest munis and rishis came to their house just like humble mendicants, discarding all their sense of pride or sense of power or position. I'm Bhrigu Muni, or I'm this Vishishta Muni, or whatever Muni. They came in a very humble way with folded hands before Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Pandavas. So one might say, well, how is that possible? Why is that? That the brahmanas and brahmacharis and rishis and munis are coming down to Hastinapur, Indraprastha, to take darshan and the association of the Pandavas. Because Krishna, their worshipful Lord, is living with them just like a friend. So this is mentioned as a verse. So the point is that when Krishna is living with you, or Krishna is residing within your heart, here it's explained, griha vasa hiti. Griha vasa. He's said that Krishna is living in the same griha, in the same house with the Pandavas. So by that fortune of having Krishna living in their house, all the greatest rishis in the universe were attracted to their house to have darshan of them and to glorify them as being recipients of such great mercy from Krishna. They were in this mood of Sakiras as friends with Krishna, living with them, giving them darshan all the time, and even serving them, becoming their charioteer. And sometimes Krishna would offer obeisances to Maharaj Yudhisthira. A very humble position, servant friend he would take. So the rishis would come there. So in the same way, any person, regardless of his varna or ashram, whether he's grihastha or brahmachari, or whether he's brahmin or vaishya, if Krishna resides in your heart, because the heart is also a griha, it's a house, the house of the heart. They say if there's room in a person's heart, then there's room in the life, or there's room in the world. If you have no room in your heart for someone, you may have a 1,000-room palace, but you somehow or other you can't find one room for that person. The person may come knock on your door, excuse me, I'm traveling this way. Do you have one room for me? Oh no, if he's your enemy, say no, I'm sorry, everything's full. But if there's room in the heart, then there's room. So the heart is also a residence, it's a griha. So for one who captures Krishna, as the Pandavas have captured Krishna, for one who captures Krishna, then he's exalted or glorified by all members of society, and he becomes all attractive. Because the all-attractive personality of Godhead is residing within the rooms of his heart, or within the core of his heart. And therefore, he emanates Krishna consciousness. So we see the ideal of such a personality as Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was not born a Brahmana, but, of course, he was Mahabhagavad Nityasiddha. But at least he's appearing, he's born in a Kayastha, was it Kayastha? A Kayastha class, which is a mixed Kshatriya Vaishya. He wasn't born in a Brahmana class, but because Krishna's residing in his heart, Prabhupada became attractive to everyone. Munis, rishis, you see so many pictures and so many people come to visit Prabhupada all around the world, different sages and rishis and Brahmins and Kshatriyas and all different people. Because Prabhupada was all attractive. Because Krishna was living in his heart. We once heard the devotees tell the story from Bombay. When they were told this in Delhi, I forget, I think it was Mahaprabhu or someone, I can't remember who told the story. Interesting story, glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was giving a room darshan in Bombay, and there was one Indian gentleman there who knew some philosophy, nice, pious person, religious person. He was listening to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was speaking some philosophy, and sometimes he would stop his darshan in the room and speaking philosophy, and he would call one of his disciples, Brahmananda Maharaj, or some other disciple, and he would dictate something for them to do. Go to the bank, transfer this money, do this, put this money in this account, and doing different managing of his society. And then he would go back to his room darshan and speaking. So then, Swamiji, I have one question. Yes, Mr. Gupta? What is that question? He said, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, satatam kirtiyantama yatantas chadridavrataha, that the saints, the symptom of a saint is satatam kirtiyantama. He's always chanting Hare Krishna. He's always, satatam, always going on, kirtaniya sadahari. But you're supposedly a great saint in this society, Jagat Guru, but I see that sometimes you're speaking philosophy, but you know, sometimes you're speaking banking and you're speaking this temple work and this management work. It doesn't seem, I don't see that you're always chanting. So then, Prabhupada, this is how the story is told. He said, really, you don't think so? Because we heard this story about Akinchana Krishnadas Baba, Prabhupada's godbrother, Babaji also. So Prabhupada said, look, you come, you put your head on my back. And so the person, he put his ear on Prabhupada's back. Prabhupada just leaned like this. This story. The idea is we understand whether it's the essence, because Prabhupada, of course, is always chanting. And every cell of the pure devotee's body is vibrating with Krishna consciousness. His glance, his words, his touch. And that is all glorified by Narottam Das. You simply have darshan of a pure devotee, and it's more purifying than thousands of Ganga baths. So we understand by Shastra. Prabhupada meets all the qualifications of the Mahabhagavata. So the person put his ear to Prabhupada's back, and he went, what? And inside, and he could hear inside Prabhupada's back, he could hear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. The characteristic transcendental voice of Srila Prabhupada, chanting within, inside. In other words, and he was amazed, oh, excuse me, I didn't understand. Actually, you're inside your heart, you're always chanting. Just like they say in Vrindavan, Dara Dara, is it Dara Dara Arapate, Rali Rali Vole or something. They explain it, every single pata, every single leaf of every single tree is chanting Rade 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 Rade, glorifying the Thakurani of Vrindavan, the Vrindavanishwari. So the spiritual master, the pure devotees of the caliber of Srila Prabhupada, are of course always glorifying, thinking of how to glorify the Lord, and remembering the Lord, and every part of them. So anyway, this story was told. So such a person becomes attractive. So this, they're glorified as Vaishnavas. The Pandavas are Vaishnavas. So of course, Vaishnava is a special word. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that actually all animate beings, all living entities, all animate beings, and even all lifeless objects are Vaishnavas. The trees are Vaishnavas, the plants are Vaishnavas, the rocks are Vaishnavas, everyone is Vaishnavas. Even the atheist. The atheist is a Vaishnava by constitution, but not by disposition. This is the phrase he used. The atheist is a Vaishnava by constitution, but not by disposition. This means that his very primordial nature, the very essence of every jiva, is service to Krishna, service to Vishnu. And the word Vishnu means all-pervading. So the influence of Vishnu is everywhere, his expansions are everywhere. So the atheist is serving Krishna's deluding energy. He's a disobedient. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, the atheist is a disobedient servant. He's a disobedient servant of Krishna's deluding potency, Maya. In other words, he's serving. The atheist is also serving Krishna, but not obediently or not voluntarily. He's serving Maya. So in that sense, everyone's a Vaishnava. But, of course, it's not that... It's such a cheap term. One morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, one of the devotees said, Prabhupada, the devotees, sometimes they're not behaving properly. And Prabhupada said, wait a minute, you're using this word devotee? Because Vaishnava means devotee. Ultimately, Vaishnava means devotee of Vishnu, devotee of Krishna. So the Pandavas are glorified. They're such great devotees of Krishna that Krishna is living with them. So, and doing so much interaction with them, services, and they had this mood. So Prabhupada explained, don't think that devotee is such a cheap term, or the word Vaishnava. Yes, I'm a Vaishnava, or I'm a devotee. It is not so easy. It may take lifetimes to actually become a devotee. That's why it's very humorous when a new person comes from the material energy, completely covered with so much karma and avidya and anarthas and bad qualities. We call him Bhakta Sunil. We call him Bhakta. He's a new Bhakta. We give him the title Bhakta. Right from day one, he's called Bhakta. He's devotee. Whereas after being or trying to practice Krishna consciousness for 20 or 30 years, we realize I'm far, far, far away from the threshold of bhakti. They called me Bhakta Joe when I on the first weeks and months, and then we got some name from Gurudev. So I was given such a great appellation, such a great honor, Bhakta. But then I lost it. I became initiated, then I became Brahman, and you know, and then the Sankar, then you know, Maharaj and Morhankar, and then all the bhakti was just, it was gone, whatever. No one calls me Bhakta anymore. Like Maharaj! Maharaj ki jai ho! Like in the Hindi movies. Maharaj ki jai ho! And everyone stands there, Hari Bol. So, this term. But the Pandavas are exalted and glorified as Vaishnava. So of course, there are different levels of Vaishnavas. And Sanatana Goswami explains in Brihad Bhagavatamrita to give us some standard to measure. Not that we want to measure. We always measure everyone. Everyone is the first where we start our measurement. When we start to measure any devotee, we always start on our head. Because every devotee's feet are on our head, which means every devotee is above us. So if you're going to measure anyone, you have to start from here. You want to measure some other devotee, you start from here because he's above you. Every devotee is better than you, or better than us. But at least Sanatana Goswami gives some idea of the gradations of bhakti and the intensity of surrender and the intimacy of devotion that is shared between Krishna and his loving devotees. So when we enter into the threshold of actual bhakti, we can call personalities like Prahlad. We say, Bhakta Prahlad. He's also a new bhakta. We say, Jaya Nishringadeva, we say, Bhakta Prahlad, Jaya Bhakta. So he's a new bhakta. He must be in a bhakta program, Prahlad. Prahlad Maharaj is a new bhakti. He's called Bhakta Prahlad. Yes, because that's the beginning of Preeti Bhakti. It begins there. Bhakti, or as it said in Nectar Devotions, Preeti Bhakti. Preeti means love. Preeti. Preeti Sandarbha. So love begins there with Prahlad Maharaj, Bhakta Prahlad. He's a bhakta. But he's in Shantaras, always remembering the Lord. And then there's another bhakta, Bhakta Hanuman. He's another new bhakta, quite a strong brahmachari, very strong type. Naishtika brahmachari. He's also a bhakta. He's in the level of Priti Bhakti Ras. But he's on the level of Dasya Bhav. Because he carried Ram, he became his doctor, he got medicine for him, he did so much intimate services, personal services for the Lord, and had so much interaction as a servant, master and servant relationship, and exchanging love there. Whereas Prahlad, he was just meditating on the Lord saved him, the Lord gave him a post, and there wasn't much chance for service, or interaction. He offered a handful of stutis, but that was simply due to the pressure of the situation. But he was even lamenting, I never had a chance to personally serve the Lord, but Hanuman is so fortunate. But then who is a greater bhakta than Hanuman? Then you come to the next level, Prayo. Prayo bhakti. Prayo means priya, means dear. My dear devotees, this is the English translation of Prayo Bhakti Ras, is dear devotees. So the dear devotees, they, the Pandavas, because the Pandavas are in Sakyaras. So here we are, we're now in the seventh canto. And Shukadeva Goswami is trying to reveal to us, these are the type of devotees. We heard about Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto. I think so, isn't it? We studied about Prahlad Maharaj. So we heard about this Shantaras. And now we're here, we're leaving the seventh canto. I think it's the end of the seventh canto now. We're leaving the seventh canto and having some understanding of Sakyaras, but the Sakyaras of the Pandavas. Prayo Bhakti. Now the next level of Prayo Bhakti or Sakyaras is the Yadavas in Dwarka. They had such intimate friendship with the Lord. So this Pandavas are being glorified here. They're on Sakyaras. Munis and Rishis and Yogis and Brahmanas and Brahmacharis around the in the universe, all the different great sages that are measured or kind of you can say compared here in this verse, they are in Shantaras. At best, or Dasiras. But Sakyaras, this is a very privileged position. Although this is not the intimate Sakyaras, but Sanatana Goswami explains the interaction, the exchanges of love between the Pandavas. He says, for example, Krishna, he, in the terms Maharaj Yudhisthira was in Sakyaras, and Krishna arranged that his fame would be spread all over the world. He became the most famous king, Maharaj Yudhisthira. And then Sahadeva and Nakula, they were the young boys, they were the little boys, the little Pandavas, Nakula and Sahadeva. They were in the Rajasuya sacrifice, so they jumped up in the midst of all these powerful kings and Maharatis. Just little, they were considered small. You know, the Pandavas are powerful, but then amongst all the rishis were there, Drishtadyumna, Duryodhana, all these different big rishis were there, and so many countries were there. They jumped up and said, Krishna should be worshipped. He is the Raj. He is the emperor. He is the one to be worshipped, to be honored by everyone in the world. So, and then it's explained that Draupadi, of course, Krishna did so much service for Draupadi. He saved her when she was getting disrobed. And then when the Pandavas were in Kamyavan, Duryodhana tried to send Durvasa Muni to destroy the Pandavas, and then Draupadi again, by Krishna's arrangement, Krishna saved her and saved the Pandavas from the wrath and anger of Durvasa Muni. And then it's explained, of course, Kunti Devi, when Krishna was staying in Hastinapur, he was there for several months staying with the Pandavas as their friend, and he wanted to return to Dwarka. And then Kunti prayed to him, Oh Krishna, please, you are our friend, you are our beloved master. Please, will you stay with us for some more time? So due to the affection between Krishna and Kunti, then Krishna agreed, all right, yes, my mother, Yes, my mother, I will surely stay for some more time. But Krishna extended his stay because of the loving prayers of his devotee, Kunti. And then at the Rajasuya sacrifice, when Krishna was chosen as the worshipful personality amongst all present and amongst everyone in the universe, then at that time he had some water, he had a conch shell, he was given a conch shell and he had some water. So he walked by Draupadi and he sprinkled some water on her head. He sprinkled some water on her head to Draupadi, the wife of the Pandavas. This shows you the intimacy of exchange, the friendship, the loving dealings. He sprinkled some water on Draupadi's head and said, "Oh, Draupadi, you are my Priyasakhi. My Priyasakhi." Not to be confused with Gopi Bhav or the Braja Gopis Sakhis and that type of the Priya Dharma Sakhi or Parma Prashta Sakhi. But Priya Sakhi means you're my dear, Sakhi means friend, Sakha. You're my very dear friend. You're my very dear friend. It's Prayo. That's what Prayo means. Prayo Bhakti Ras. Prayo Bhakti Ras. This is the Sakhi Ras with the Pandavas. So in these different ways, and then when Bhima defeated Jarasandha. But actually Krishna did it. Krishna gave the indication because he knew that this Jarasandha was joined in the forest by one witch. He was Jarasandha, Sandhya. Sandhi? Sandhi means conjunction. So he was joined. He was put in two pieces when he was born. He was in two pieces and some witch or Kachari put him together and he grew up. So Krishna took a piece of grass and he showed when Bhimasena was fighting with Jarasandha, he couldn't defeat him on his own. So actually Krishna defeated him because he gave him the way. He took a piece of grass, a blade of grass, and he went whoop. He split it. And then Bhimasena said, "Oh." So then of course Bhimasena is glorified. "Oh, you killed this great demon, Jarasandha. You defeated him. So powerful. Bhimasena ki jai, Bhimasena ki jai." But actually, that was Krishna's loving reciprocation with Bhima. Because he loves Bhima as his friend and he wants to see his friend to be glorified. This is the mood of friendship. Pure friendship. That Krishna and his Krishna, the devotees in the mood of friendship, they want to glorify Krishna. He wants to glorify them. And here the Pandavas are being glorified. So the course, when Narada Muni, he went to Hanuman, he was glorifying Hanuman, then Hanuman was glorifying the Pandavas for their devotion. And then when he went to visit the Pandavas, when Narada Muni went to visit these same Pandavas that are being glorified here by Narada Muni, and he's glorifying them, and the Pandavas said, "Look, we're not so fortunate. Krishna was with us, he would come and visit us occasionally and stay sometimes, but then he left us." The really fortunate devotees, the devotees that have receive the most blessings and mercy and intimacy from Krishna are the Yadavas and Dwarka. He's living with them so intimately. So this is explained that their devotion, they're also in Sakhi Ras, but there's more intimacy. Whereas the Sakhi Ras of the Pandavas, it's mixed with Dasya Ras, with the mood of servitude, and it's also mixed with some reverence. There's more awe and reverence in their relationship with Krishna. So in this way, we're understanding at this juncture of Srimad Bhagavatam, we're understanding the evolution of bhakti. The evolution of bhakti, the progress of devotional service. So of course, 7th canto, then 8th, 9th, 10th. So when we get to the 10th canto, then we'll find the Madhurya Bhakti. Madhurya Bhakti of the Braja Gopis. And this, their bhakti of course is the most intimate and the most intense and the most attractive. And the sweetest exchanges are found there that attract everyone. Even those devotees that are situated in different rasas and different positions, they become attracted to the sweetness of Braja Ras. That's why Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Shamsundar Krishna Vrindavan, he's known, this is one of his four attractive features, his Prema Madhurya. Prema Madhurya and Leela Madhurya. And he shows that as Leela Purushottam in Vrindavan. So this is, we're getting some understanding. We're seeing the progress of devotion. And we can understand by the qualities and the interactions, the qualities of the devotees and the interactions between Krishna and devotees, what is actual bhakti? What does it actually mean to be a Vaishnava? A devotee of Vishnu, a devotee of Krishna. So this is, we may be far, far, far away from this actual threshold of bhakti. Because we look at the character of Prahlad Maharaj, how he was always remembering the Lord, and he was fearless. And we look at the character in this verse of the Pandavas, that Krishna was living with them. But then see how great the Yadavas were. Krishna was living time to time with the Pandavas. Time to time, Krishna's living in Hastinapur with the Pandavas. But how long did he live with the Yadavas? 100 years. Krishna stayed in Dwarka for 100 years, living with Uddhava and Ugrasena and so many exchanges. Very, very intimate situation. Their friendship was not mixed with so much reverence as the Pandavas. So in this way, we hear something about the different types of bhakti and the glorious position of the Pandavas. And what does it mean to be a Vaishnava? As we heard from Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, that every animate being and lifeless object in the world is actually a Vaishnava. And Lord Chaitanya showed this. This was his attitude. That when Lord Chaitanya was traveling and preaching, he liberated everyone. He gave Krishna consciousness to everyone. He liberated trees and plants and animals and people. He considered, yes, this lion is a Bhakta, Bhakta Singha, Bhakta Lion, Bhakta Hasti, Bhakta Sarp, Bhakta Kuta. The dog is a Bhakta, so he liberated the dogs. Then the Brikshas are also Bhaktas, they're also Vaishnavas, but they're in a contrary position. So by his mercy, by his loud kirtan, Krishna, 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 hey, by loudly chanting, walking down the streets of South India, the pathways of South India. And so by his preaching, he liberated everyone. He saw that everyone can get liberated. Everyone can become a Vaishnava by the purifying effect of Krishna Kirtan. So one place he's liberating the coconut trees, seeing that, oh yes, these are Vaishnavas. Another place he's liberating a dog, feeding a dog prasad, Shivananda Sen's dog, and then Chaitanya Mangal speaks about other dogs that when he was little were coming. And then he's going through Jarikan Forest, the elephant, the lion, they're all devotees. So just see the power of Mahaprabhu Kirtan. Mahaprabhu Kirtan, we sing in the morning. Gurudev is the liberated gurus are in this position. Mahaprabhu Kirtan Nitya Gita. So this Mahaprabhu Kirtan is so powerful that it makes, what to speak of the spiritual master exhibiting bhava, symptoms of bhava when he's absorbed in the Mahaprabhu Kirtan. But even the animals are crying. When the animals in Jarikan Forest heard Mahaprabhu's kirtan, the lions and tigers, they were dancing and crying and shouting, Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. So the Pandavas are very, very exalted. But see, sometimes the Pandavas, although they were sharing, Krishna was always living with them so much of the time and driving their chariot and serving them, and they had so much intimacy. Sometimes they would become a little proud. So there's one story that explains how Arjuna, one of the Pandavas, Arjuna, who's in this Preo Bhakti Ras, he felt a little proud. Krishna's with us, riding on a chariot, Parthasarathi, we're famous personalities. So they're riding on the chariot, Krishna and Arjuna riding in Hastinapur. And they saw on the side, underneath one bilva tree, there was one Shaivite. He was sitting there, and he had three or four tridents. He had one trishun. He had one trishun in the north, one in the south, one in the east, one in the west. And he was just some Shaivite personality, wearing red cloth and tilak. Nothing very significant. So many thousands, millions of Vaishnavas and millions of Shaivites. So they're riding by, and Arjuna, and then Krishna said, oh, see? Oh, then, no, what happened is that Arjuna saw that Shaivite, and he said, hey, Krishna, look at that Shaivite. Well, he's a very funny one. He has four tridents. He has four trishuns. Usually a Shaivite has one trishun, egg trishun, but he had four. So he made some side comment. What is this? What kind of Shaivite is this? Four tridents? He was joking. Then Krishna said, oh, and they're riding, they went, Arjuna, you don't know. You don't know. This person is much better devotee than you. He's a much dearer devotee than I am, than you are to me. What? Whoa! You know, he says, you can learn something from him, Arjuna. You should learn something. So then when Krishna gave this idea that this Shaivite is much better devotee than you, and you can learn something from him. And then so Arjuna said, well, wait. Stop the chariot. They stopped the chariot and he went back. And he, On Krishna's inducement, he could understand this person is more than what I thought. You can't judge someone by their exterior. You cannot judge someone by their appearance. Obviously, by this one side point of the story. So Arjuna went up in a very humble way, Namaste, Maharaj, pranams. And then he said, yeah, sit down, Vaidya, sit down. So then he said, so Arjuna said, please, you give me, I am curious about, you have these tridents. Will you please explain why? Because I've seen many Shaivites, usually there's one, but you have four. So then he was sitting there in meditation, listening to Arjuna. And then it was very calm and quiet, Shaivite. Then all of a sudden he became very excited. And then he grabbed one Trishun. Ha! This one! This Trishun! This is for Draupadi! And Arjuna was like, what? What? Wait a minute. What do you mean? That Draupadi, my lord was in Vaikuntha. He was enjoying a nice meal with Lakshmi was serving him. He was eating pakora, sabji, rasgulla, chutneys. He's in having a nice meal. And that Draupadi, she pulled him out of there, pulled him away from that to come and protect her and give her so much kapra. She, if I see that Draupadi, I will finish her with this trident. And Arjuna was, oh, well, really? And Arjuna said, why? Because she made my lord, my worshipful lord, Vishnu, she turned him into a kapra wala, a cloth wala. Just, you know, here, take some cloth, take some sari, a sari wala. And he was very serious. I will kill her. If I see that Draupadi, okay, yeah, very, Jai Ho Maharaj. Maharaj ki Jai Ho. Well, what about the other Trishun? This one's for that little rascal. If I see that little rascal Prahlad, boom, I'll finish him right away. And Arjuna said, oh Maharaj, why do you feel that way about Prahlad? Thing is, my lord Shamsundar Govinda, he's Shamsundar, his face is radiant like the moon. It's so beautiful. And his eyes are like the eyes of a doe. They're very long and gentle and soft. And they're always moist. And they look like the tender petals of a lotus flower in the morning time. A little bit of dew on them. They're always moist with tears of love for his devotees. He's such a beautiful face. I want to always remember that face and think of that face. But this little boy, because he had some problem with his old man, he had some problem with his father, he turned my lord, he turned him, he took that beautiful face and made my lord have a lion's face. That beautiful face turned into this ferocious lion face. And if I see, and I know more beauty is there, and I can't be happy with that. So if I see that little boy, he said just terrible thing to my beautiful lord. He gave him this ugly lion's face. Big fangs, sharp razor fangs, and these big long whiskers. Short stubby ears. So then Arjuna said, oh, Maharaj, I can see you are something extraordinary person. What about this other Trishun here? This one. Ha! This one! This is for Arjuna. If I ever see that person, if he's anywhere near where I am, I will finish him. Okay, it's nice to meet you. Why? Why do you want to finish Arjuna with your? He's one of the Pandavas. But the thing is, all the rishis in the universe are standing with folded hands. And all the greatest munis and rishis are offering so many stotras and stutis from sunrise to sunset. The Vishnu Sahasranam, Gopal Sahasranam, so many Sahasranams to glorify my Lord. And there's so much jagya going on and all over the universe and they're writing, yes, everyone's writing and glorifying my Lord. He is some worship by everyone. Everyone is his servant. Ekalishvara Krishna Arasabhya Britya. There is one Ishvara, Parama Ishvara Krishna. And everyone else is his servant. But this rascal Arjuna, he made my Lord, the Master, the Lord of everyone, the Lord of the universe. He made him into his slave, into his chariot driver. He made him into his chauffeur. He turned him into a chauffeur like you have your Maruti. Some guy sits in the front seat and drives your Maruti. He made him like a chauffeur for his chariot. What is this? This is how he worships, this is how he shows his devotion to God. He makes him his chauffeur, chariot driver, Parthasarathi. Oh, that Arjun. So then Arjun, he thought it was time to take his leave. He said, Maharaj, I'm very happy to meet you. You've taught me many lessons. Please carry on with your meditation. So he got in his chariot and he left. So Krishna taught the Pandavas, yes, you're very great devotees, but you have to understand there are even better devotees. So Bhagavatam will gradually teach us, step by step, who are the greatest devotees of the world, or the whole universe, the greatest devotees of Krishna. And that is our line. Our line is leading us there. We are going somewhere. We are going to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna by the blessings of Mahaprabhu and our Gurudev. And we are going to that plane of Mandriya Bhakti, that plane of the highest intimacy, that plane of the greatest sweetness. That is the plane of Vrindavan. So this, we're going on the wings of Bhagavatam. On the wings of Bhagavatam, we are flying to the spiritual world, to the innermost petal of the lotus of Goloka Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna are having their sweet pastimes in Vrindavan. So we'll stop there. Any questions or comments? That's why I'd say, just like the question is, you say he's thinking of Govinda or he's glorifying Govinda, but he's a Shaivite. That's why I'm telling you, you can't tell what people are outside. For example, generally it is the custom among, when you greet persons from different sampradayas, you will, it depends on your mood, but you may glorify their particular lord, and they will glorify your lord in return. For example, if you see someone in Sri Sampradaya, you might say, Jai Sri Ram. Just to show, it's an inner way of showing respect for that person's Thakurji. Because every lord is an expansion of Krishna. Krishna is a Swayam Bhagavan. So you see a Sri Vaishnava, a devotee of Sita and Ram. You say, Jai Sri Ram. And then generally what he will do, and he'll say, Jai Sri Krishna. Because he sees that you're a Krishna Bhakta or Vishnu Bhakta. So this is a principle of etiquette. Of course you can always say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just like you come to Vrindavan. When you come to Vrindavan, the worshipable Lord of the Brijvasis is Swamini, Thakurani Radhe. So when the Hare Krishna people would first come to Vrindavan, everyone would say, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. So we could understand, oh, when in Rome, do as the Romans. Oh, this is the place of Radharani. So I say Jai Radhe. So now some of the devotees in ISKCON, they're interacting, they say to the Brijvasis, Jai Radhe. But now the Brijvasis have become brainwashed by us. Now they say, Hare Krishna. We say Jai Radhe, they say Hare Krishna. So one time there was one Shaivite here in front of the temple, complete, the whole Rudraksha beads, tilaka, everything, full regalia. And I saw him, I said, Jai Mahadev, because we also worship Mahadev, Gopishwar Mahadev, Chakaleshwar Mahadev, Kameshwar Mahadev, Bhuteshwar Mahadev, they're all worshipful personalities. The gopis were worshipping Gopishwar. And they bestow upon us great mercy. Mahadev removes the false ego, enables us to become, to approach the threshold of bhakti. At any rate, so I said, Jai Mahadev. So he looked at me and said, Jai Radhe. I said, oh, Jai Radhe. So we don't know. He's looking like Shaivai, but maybe he's a great devotee of Radharani. Lord Shiva himself, Lord Shiva is Ashishwar Mahadev. In Nandagram, he came from seeing Krishna. Lord Shiva, he's also a devotee of, he's a devotee of Shankarshana Ram, but he comes to Nandagram to see Krishna. The greatest, the source of all the Shaivites, the Ishtadev of all the Shaivites, he comes to Nandagram to see, have darshan of Shamsundar, Damodar, Nandanandanam. So the Shaivites also come to have darshan. So it's very difficult to tell someone's Ishtadev by their external. Living in Vrindavan doesn't mean parking your body. He said someone's fortunate they can live in Vrindavan. Krishna lived in Dwarka with the Pandavas, so if someone, a devotee, can live in Vrindavan, he's very fortunate. But living in Vrindavan doesn't mean that you park your, you know, that you eat and sleep here in Vrindavan. That's not living in Vrindavan. There's also many pigs that live like that, and many monkeys that live like that. They eat here, we eat here, they sleep here, we sleep here. So there may not be much difference between our consciousness and the consciousness of the pig. That we have to see. What is the consciousness? Where your consciousness is, that's where you're living. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.